Ellen DeGeneres is in some hot water this week. It's a day ending with Y. I feel like Ellen DeGeneres does not know how to get out of her own way at this point.
Still on TV? I thought that's over.
It is, but so she didn't renew. She has to finish out her last season, which is what she's doing right now.
I thought this was like 3 years ago we talked about this. I thought she was already off the air.
Well, no, she had a contract that went through 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Once the contract is over, she's not renewing for 2023. She's done. She's gone.
Got it.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. I was just having a conversation about her today before we get to this story that we're talking about today, the Jacob Elordi story, which is really interesting, by the way, when we get to it. I have a friend that works at Ellen, and this friend of mine has been there since the very beginning and has told me that Ellen's not the most approachable person.
Mm.
You know, we've heard over the years that she's not the nicest person, and I think when the whole thing blew up with her last year, where people were like, she's a nightmare, she treats people like crap, she's abusive, nobody in the industry was surprised. The only thing that kind of surprises me is, like, you know, you look at her and you think, well, she's living in a $20 million house. She has this gorgeous wife. She has a lot of power in Hollywood. She's a ton of money. What does she have to be bitchy about? I mean, like, her life looks pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. She looks pretty happy, right?
You would think.
Right. And then I remember something that a friend of mine said to me. Remember, in college, there was this girl that I was friends with, and no matter what I did, the girl was just not nice to me. Like, she just treated me like shit. I was so good to her, and she treated me like shit. At the time, my best friend said to me, just because you don't have everything right now that you want, it doesn't mean that you don't have everything that she wants.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she looks at you and thinks, you have everything, and you're like, no, I don't have this. Like, you're unhappy. There's a whole list of stuff that you don't have in your life. But to her, you have everything she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the case with Ellen DeGeneres. I think that we look at her and think, who wouldn't want all the money that she has? Who wouldn't want the beautiful wife and the $20 million house and all the power? The answer is, I think that's not really what her goal was. I'm not trying to understand. I'm trying to understand Ellen a little bit, just in terms of, like, I know there's a lot of hate coming her way, and when you hear the story we're going to tell you, there's definitely going to be more, and I'm one of them. But when you look at it, like, objectively, like, I don't have a dog in this fight. When you look at it objectively, I think that she set out to be a sitcom actress, a movie actress, a stand-up comedian. She didn't want to be a talk show host. That was not her goal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she wasn't doing well. Remember, her sitcom was canceled when she came out. Nobody in Hollywood wanted to work with her. She wanted to be an actress. She had other goals for herself. I feel like the talk show host thing was something that she did because she wasn't offered the job she really wanted. And I think on some level, she may have thought, and I'm completely speculating, I have no inside information, I think that she took the talk show gig thinking this will endear her to the people that she wants to hire her. It'll bring her into that world again.
Bring her clout score a little bit higher than it was before.
Right. And show people that she's more than just that one sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's more to her than that. And I think that it just snowballed. I think the show started doing well and she just stuck with it. And she was making a lot of money and she couldn't say no. And she was employing hundreds of people. You know, how do you say to hundreds of people, sorry, want to do movies, bye.
Mm.
You can't. That's their livelihood. So I think once she became part of that really corporate world, it's a corporate job. She might be on TV, but it's very corporate. I think she was on that treadmill in that cycle. And I think that was not her goal. I don't think that's what she wanted to do with her life and her career.
Yeah, because if you're a stand-up, you can be a bitch or an asshole all you want. People expect it. I mean, like, Sam Kennison was a nightmare to deal with off the stage. You put him on stage, he's great. Take him off the stage, a complete nightmare. So if you put Sam Kennison on TV, that he has to be there every day. He was an asshole before.
Right.
And now you expect him not to be an asshole. They're going to be an asshole no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, her stand-up was fantastic. If you don't know Ellen DeGeneres' stand-up very well, if you only know her current Netflix special, I suggest you go back and you watch the videos of her phone calls to God. They're brilliant. It's really the thing that put her on the map.
Yeah, she had two good bits, and that's what put her on the map. But they were really good bits.
Yeah,
so,
right.
But like I said, you can be a jerk and be thrown up on stage and make people laugh for 45 minutes. But if you have to show up at work every day and do a show and hundreds of people rely on it, that's a big job.
Yeah, right. I think her timing was bad. I think for what she wanted to do with her career, she was way ahead of her time. That's why she was not going to be accepted by the Hollywood community.
Mm.
And the talk show thing was really blowing up at that point. They were throwing people on talk shows like crazy. And some made it, like she did, and some didn't, like Queen Latifah. You know, so it's just, I think it's really interesting that when you look at her and you're like, how can you be unhappy? Your life is amazing. Not to her. I think that's not the goal that she had. So just as an effort to try to understand her. Anyway, so what happened today was, so you don't watch Euphoria, do you?
I don't know what that is.
What?
I don't know what that is.
Okay. Wow. Euphoria is pretty much like the number one show on HBO right now. It's
here we
huge.
Go. Every time it's a number one. It's the biggest show ever, number one show. Okay, I'm not watching it.
No. Okay. It's not just one of the hugest shows for HBO. It is written about constantly in everything from like BuzzFeed and The Cut and The New York Times and Vogue, and everyone's doing, there's a whole campaign. Zendaya has a whole campaign right now, a fashion campaign, because she's the star of Euphoria and she's the biggest thing on the planet. Jacob Elordi, who's one of the leads, he plays one of the main characters. He was dating Kai Gerber, mm-hmm. you know, Cindy Crawford's gorgeous daughter. They had broken up. So, you know, he's one of the leads on the show, and his character is kind of a sociopath. The character is supposed to be, you're supposed to believe, he's very good looking, Jacob is, but the character is supposed to be really, like a real sex pot. You're supposed to believe that the two hottest girls in school are like fighting over him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he breaks up friendships, and his whole family are really good looking, and that's a main, it's a plot point. They just don't, it's not like they happen to be good looking. It's part of the narrative. So most people that watch Euphoria, and it's a really edgy show. Zendaya plays this character Rue, who has a drug problem, a teenager with a really bad drug problem. So it's a very, very dark show. It's not, I'm making it sound like light and fun and girls fighting, but it's very dark and very deep, and they deal with a lot of adult issues. There's some controversy right now as to what age you should allow kids to watch Euphoria. You know, under the age of 15, probably not. You know, but I guess it depends on the kid. Anyway, so Jacob Elordi, one of the stars of the show, is always naked because he's always having sex with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And or he's always shirtless or topless. And it's because his character would be, you know. So Ellen DeGeneres decided to ask him about it. But remember, she's a boomer. So the way she talks to somebody like him, he's 24, so he's Gen Z. So there's a real communication gap here. This is like three generations away, you know, from each other. So I want you to hear the conversation, and then I will describe his body language.
And you're naked a lot. How does that feel? Is that something when they write you into the script, do they say, hey, how do you feel about being naked? Or you just all of a sudden are surprised, like, oh, I have to be naked?
You kind of, you have no choice.
Right.
You know, it's like every scene is like, he sleeps with this person. He does this with this person naked. But it's like, it gets to the point, I've done some movies where it gets to the point where it's like, he goes to the mall shirtless. And you're like, why? What would you possibly like?
Well, because look at you. That's why.
Right.
Yeah.
Right there, she said that to him, and he immediately got very uncomfortable. Both his arms came in over his body. He leans in, takes a sip of his drink. Like, you can see he's 6'5", and he immediately shrunk to being tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't pick up on how awkward and weird that question was. She keeps at it.
But I just was wondering, because, you know, for women, I mean, I think they probably would ask a woman, like, do you mind being naked, you know, on camera, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering if they ask you, or if you just are surprised that you, when you open the script. And also, like you said, you're comfortable now because you've done it enough that you aren't uncomfortable being naked.
Well, I think on Euphoria, it comes with the territory of the character. So I'm kind of, you know, he's this ultra-masculine, macho jock. So those guys, I think, tend to get around pretty shirtless. So it's sort of okay. And we have an intimacy coordinator. Her name's Ma'am. And she's a second mother. She's like, are you comfortable? Are you okay? To the point where you're like, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm fine. And the crew has been the same from the first season through the second season. So it's kind of, it's like getting naked in front of your family.
Yeah. You know? Which also is weird.
Which is weird. Yeah, it's always
just
weird.
Just to let you know.
Yeah.
In this country, that's weird. I don't know what Australia is.
Yeah.
Weird.
So, you know, you could see he's very uncomfortable. He keeps crossing and crossing his legs, and he's like got his hands over his face, and you know, the whole thing, it's a weird conversation for the two of them to have. And the way that she sexualized it was like, well, look at you. You know, as if you look like that, so it's, you should be naked. And that really backfired on her, because there are like think pieces being written today about how her sexualizing him is just as bad as when women get sexualized. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter the gender. You shouldn't sexualize a person. And the fact that she has not gotten the memo that's saying to anybody of any generation, well, look at you. Like, because you look like that, you deserve to be sexualized.
We should take her off TV. Oh, they're doing that anyway. Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason why that's going to happen.
Yeah, she says to him at the end, you know, I'd say come back, but, you know, this is pretty much it.
I am going to have nowhere to go after this, so, yeah. We can talk on Zoom.